Okay, we left off on Daf Beis and Beis. I'm sorry that, in other words, that due to the Bris Tashir was shorter than was planned, and I didn't finish all the Mar Makomos. So let's continue now. The Gemara points out, after saying, told that the Shein, Maihi, Nagifa, Nashicha, Ravitza, Beita, we'll come back to this, Maishna Nagifa, the Karele Av, Ziv, Kiigaf, Nagifa, Nami, Ziv, Kiigaf, assuming that Nagifa means a push with the body. Our answer is, Hai Nagifa, Nagifa, that in the Pasuk, the word Nagifa means goring, like Nagifa. The Tanya, Pasach the Nagifa, Vesiyem the Nagifa. Lomar Lacha, Zohi Nagifa, Zohi Nagifa. That in the Torah, there are two words used for goring. Umayshna gabi Adam d'chsiv ki yigach, umayshna gabi behema d'chsiv ki yigof. Adam, the Yisle mazla k'siv ki yigach, behema d'lesle mazla k'siv ki yigof. And then nils agav orcha kamash malan, in terms of the nature of muad la'adam and muad la'behema. So the Gemara is assuming that negifa and negicha both mean goring, but they're used one for Adam and one for behema, because of the world of Mazla. What does that world of Mazla, why does that change the verb that we're using? So Rashi says, Adam d'isle Mazla, in the wide lines, sheyesh lo da'as l'shmor es gufo, k'siv ki yigaf divided niskaven hashor l'hara, u'ba'alav b'koach, aval negifa ha'vimash mashimitzo omed u'dechafo b'karnav. So the first lashon of Rashi, before we get to the Lishna Achrina, what is the distinction between Negicha and Negifa? Both of them relate to goring, but what is, in terms of the quality of the goring, what's the difference? The fact that Adam Yeshlo Da'as Lishmor at Gufo, and therefore what? It's harder to hit him. So we're dealing over here that the Negicha is, I guess, what we call lunging, namely that there's a certain strategy that's involved, that the shor is making the cheshbon, this person is a moving target, and he's going to have to aim towards where the person will be, not where he is currently. Masha Einkein, Negifa, there you're dealing with a sitting duck, and with a sitting duck you need no strategy, all you have to do is just the pula of Negicha itself. In other words, we're not talking over here about we're talking over here about the quality of the goring. Are we dealing with a lunging or simply an act of goring? How does this fit into the language that Rashi assumes that we understand? But the Meiri, who lived a bit later, knew that we don't understand these things. So the Meiri filled us in with filling in the Hebrew language, that after he gave the Perush of Rashi, he points out that Shahanegicha lashon milchama, kine metargem unkelus, yilachem lahem, lachem, Hashem yilachem, yagiach lachon krav. That's a strategy. Vahadomim of a behema acheres ho veinatzricha lashum omed, ella, there's no strategy which is needed, ella, neguch, ella, nokcha pitom, vein rched negdo tzad otev rshdel bahatzala, there's the other animal is a sitting duck, who kara negifa al shem. There was that negifa simply is an act of killing, as opposed to negicha, which is an act of strategy. Okay, that's the first hesber of Rashi. The second hesber of Rashi, Lishna Achrina, Isle Mazla, Eino Noach Lahamiso Benegifa Shi Dechifas Keren Ma'at, Ela Benegicha Bekoach Ubekavana. Ubitchivas keren baguf. According to the Lishna Achrina, what is the Isle Mazla? Not a question of self-preservation, that the person is going to be a moving target as opposed to a sitting target, but rather
strength.
Right. It's harder to kill a man than to kill. You know, it's simply that he has more koach chayim, if you want to. So the quantity of strength needed to kill him is a greater quantity of strength. Both the negicha and the negifa are goring. One is an intense goring, and the other is a more passive goring. Okay, what everyone points out on the page and off the page is that there's a third perush of Mazla in Rashi in Maseches Shabbos, that what does Islay Mazla mean? Has a malach watching over him, right? You know, we see there is a certain sguliyut, certain divine divine shmira, l'chora, it should be day bara. Why Rashi doesn't mention that over here, and why he didn't mention it over there? Well, what was the context of the Gemara and Shabbos? The Gemara over there on Daf Nun Gimel Beis is talking about kamiot. It's talking about amulets. So in terms of an amulet, a skula, that's the field of amulets. But the chora, it's totally irrelevant over here. But the Ravid was able to attach that to our sugya as well. That the Ravid points out, v'tirets lo kiim l'tzarach limut acher huba the adam islay mazla v'kashi ve'enei habore l'hachshilo. And then where the Ravid learned, like the first parish of Rashi, that Negicha and the Meiri, that Negicha relates to a strategy. Etc. Namely, that we can fit it in to the first Lashon, that the kosha b'nei habore lahachshilo means that it requires a greater strategy in order to be able to kill. But you don't need that. You know, it's, we don't. As Rashi clearly, we know there's a very, very beautiful volume by a fellow named Yaakov Frankel, I think his name was, on the Perush of Rashi to Shas, in which he goes through all the cases where Rashi interprets differently on the Mishnah and on the Gemara. The same words, but he'll interpret it differently because Rashi wanted to interpret it contextually. Rashi is not necessarily assuming that you learned that which came previously, that which is coming afterwards, that you should be within the daf, just be able to read smoothly. And so many times he will learn differently. So Kav HaChomer, B'neushal Kav HaChomer, when we're dealing with two mesechtas and two different sugyos, with two different topics, Rashi feels no means to be consistent in terms of bringing in that which he mentioned elsewhere.
Why is the Malach fit in better with the first sheet, the first answer Rashi was saying?
That, in other words, in other words, both the Meiri and the Ravid are working off of the fact that Negicha is Lashon Milchama. Lashon Milchama is, that's the first Lashon of Rashi.
See, but it doesn't necessarily have, Rashi could have held it in both.
He could have, yeah.
They only hold it in the first, they're putting it in the first.
Nacha. Yeah. Okay. The Gemara then continues, Umil Sagav Urcha Kamash Malan, that the Torah is interested in teaching us not just Lashon HaKodesh, but also Halacha. And we learn now two halachas from this distinction of Negifa and Negicha. Muad la'adam have muad la'behema, hey. B, muad la'behema lo have muad la'adam. These are two separate halachas. Tosfos points out that in that first halacha, muad la'adam have muad la'behema, we have a machlokes between Rav Zvid and Rav Papa on daf lamed zayin. That Rav Zvid understands that stam, muad for one min is going to be muad for another min, while Rav Papa says no, muad for one min is only muad for that min, not to another min, and we want to apply that also to the world of Adam and Behema. That Rav Papa will say, even muad la'adam is not muad le'behema. Tosfos was very interested in setting up our sugya like Rav Papa, because this Gemara over there on Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph is mashma like Rav Papa. The Gemara keeps bringing all sorts of kashas and Rav Zvid, and Rav Zvid deflects them to a degree, but Tosfos understood that Rav Papa is aliba de hilchasa. Safilu Rav Papa Dharma Lakaman Bishur Shinagach the Muad La Adam Stam Alohabi Muad Libehema Hainu Dafka the Nagach Gimel Bene Adam the Bahachi Lohabi Muad Libehema Lishitasa. Aval, within the world of Rav Papa, we can still set up an Ukimta to understand our Gemara that Nagach Adam Bishor Vechamar Have Mi Gimel Minim Have Muad Lakol. At the moment that we have Adam in the equation, we're going to have the Muad Libehema. However, on the level of the other direction, of Muad Lebehema, Lavi Muad Le'adam, that fits in as well. That if we have the Muad of Aval Dogach Shor V'Chamor V'Gamal, the Muad Lebehema, Lohavi Muad Le'adam. Even though Rav Papa agrees that it moves over beyond these three Behemos, but not to Adam. Okay, so we have an ukimta. You know, it's muad la Adam. Muad is in the parsha of the ha'adam of creating the shor hamuad. Rav Menachem Pirish Dachi Kamar Muad la Adam Sheya Muad la Kol V'Chazar Bo Mi Behemah V'Nishar Muad la Adam Have Muad la Behemah. That the chazara from a behema will not impact on the fact that the animal is still going to remain both muad la Adam and muad la behema. Ma she'ein the chazara de behema la chazara he. But pum fakert, in other words, when you have a chazara me Adam, then that would be considered to be a meaningful chazara. So just to turn the sugya again, give an ukimta on the other side of the coin, not how the animal becomes a muad, but how the animal loses its ha'ada. There we have a difference between Adam and Behema. But what is Masha from Tosfos is that the moment that we're dealing with the world of Muad le-Behema, that this Barur is not going to be Muad le-Adam. Tosfos takes that as a Svara Pshuta. But that certainly is not a Svara Pshuta according to Rav Zvid. That you saw that Rav Zvid, on Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, when the Gemara was bothered, how do we ever find a Muad in a world of Hariga? The moment that an animal kills one time, he's already a bar ktala. How do we have an ukimta? And so the Gemara gives all sorts of ukimtas, but the ukimta of Rav Zvid is that we're dealing with an animal who killed three animals. That's considered to be a world of hezek. And then that is considered to be a muad la'adam in terms of paying kofar. That l'chara is black and white against what our Gemara says, that we learn out from the Negifa and the Negish and the Negicha and the Gifa that Muad lebehema lo have Muad le Adam. And so Tosfos on Daf Lamed Zayin Yusua says, what can we do? In other words, we don't paskin like Rav Zvid. Barer that Rav Zvid is against this sugya, namely that this sugya is talking about the world of Hariga. That's where the pasuk is brought by Muad le Adam. And the Gemara, in the context of Hariga, says Muad lebehema lo avi Muad leAdam. That we throw up our hands. In terms of Rav Papa, we can fit him into our sugya with ukimto. Rav Zvid, we have no way of dealing with Rav Zvid in our sugya. And then, of course, you come to the problem in the Rambam that the Rambam paskins like our sugya, and he paskins like Rav Zvid. And how does that work out? So that the Rambam in Hipperek Vav of Hilchos Nizkei Mamon learns that we paskin like Rav Papa, Shor Shehu Muad Lemino Hareza Eino Muad Le'Eino Mino, and therefore Huad La'Adam Eino Muad Le'Behema, and he'll learn our sugya like one of the Ukimtot of Tosfos, but our sugya can be learned, and yet when we get to Perek Yud, over there he brings all of the Ukimtot at a brood of how a Behema becomes a muad la'adam, harag gimel behemos, sereza muad lahariga ubalmim shamas hakofer, that's Rav Zvid, and that l'chora is black and white against our sukya. In other words, that doesn't fit in. So the Magid Mishnah says, ze be'emes kasha min harishonos. The Magid Mishnah was bothered b'chlal by the entire Rambam, that depending as to how you read the Gemara on Daf Mem Aleph, The Magid Mishnah understood that you read the Gemara, that the Gemara constantly had questions. Every time an ukimta was brought, that which could be read a benichus or could be read as a tmiya is a question. And so he says, what can we do? The Rambam learns the Gemara benichusa, that all of these are simply conclusions. However, when it comes to this Gemara, when the Gemara says that muad la'adam, muad la'behema, have muad la'adam, clearly that is a tmiya. V'chein Rabbeinu pasak ba'atzma perik vav muad la'adam eino muad lebehema kol shekein muad lebehema lo havei muad la'adam. And so what good will the girsa do if you're going against a black and white gemara? Vaday ein halacha k'divrei Rav Zvid. As Tosfos points out, you can't have Rav Zvid go against our gemara. In other words, that elok Rav Papa, that we paskin like Rav Papa, and we'll learn our Gemara in some manner according to Rav Papa, but our Gemara cannot be learned according to Rav Zvid. Comes with Keser Mishnah and says he has no idea what bothered the Magid Mishnah. We have Prakim in Baba Kama. Perek Aleph deals with the world of Nezikin. The later Prakim deal with the world of Hariga. And there could be a very well a difference between the world of Hariga and the world of Nezikin. In the world of Nezikin, Muad Lebehema, Lo Havi Muad LaAdam. In the world of Hariga, Muad Lebehema, to kill, Havi Muad LaAdam. Once an animal smells blood, so my nafkamina, whether it's the blood of another animal or the blood of an Adam, that animal has a status of Muad. That's what the Kesef Mishnah wants to distinguish. Hasa b'muad lahazik. In Muad lahazik, you could say that Muad lebehema, go avi Muad la'adam, go avi Muad lebehema, but hacha b'muad laharog. In the world of Hariga, there we could pass on like Rav Zvi. Yes? I understand that the Svar al-Chalek is that in the world of Nezikin, there is no, in other words, when there's no change in the nature of the animal. We can have an animal which simply has a quirk that it likes to gore camels. In other words, but that has nothing to do with people, etc. Masha'en king, the act of Ritzicha, the act of Ritzicha impacts on the animal, that the animal becomes dulled to the concept of Ritzicha, and it'll be Rotzeach. Anyone, anything. In other words, the moment that it's like a shochet. In other words, even though he spends all of his time, just killing chickens shechting chickens and sheep and cows. But in other words, if his wife sees that there's a juke in the house, she has no problem calling over to smash it to smithereens because he's used to seeing blood. In other words, he's used to seeing blood. You become sort of jaded by the concept of killing. So maybe that's the concept. We went home with the kolach to Shlachtos here near Yerushalayim, and the shochet looked like a malach elokim, like this saintly individual. And he, took the knife and checked the animal. And so one of the fellows in the call asked him, like, this doesn't impact on you at all? And so he says, when I go home, I hug my children, I kiss my children, this is my parnasa. You know, it's not like he's from the world of Ma'adim, he was born in the constellation of Mars. And he has to, like the Gemara says, he has to do something with blood, either be a moel or a shochet or a ritzeach. No, he said he works on himself that, compartmentalize, but he has to work on himself. If you don't work on yourself, then you can, you get jaded. That's what I understood.
Maybe saying it's tied to the shore. Also, the shore chaps, he's like killing things,
The shores that we have a concept of a shore nakhon, that the shore changes. That's the concept of ha'ada. He changes his nature. He's no longer just the shore. He's now a rotzeach.
Is it nakhon regardless? I mean, the fact that he killed a guy or not isn't really telling on him necessarily.
The fact that he killed three shvarim, that defines him as a nakhon, and then let the world.
He could be a nakhon to do mazik and not ritzich also.
No, in the world of mazik, we have a world of mazik, but in the world of mazik, we don't view it that he's going to move from realm to realm. In other words, he'll spend his time being mazik gemalim, he'll spend his time being mazik kvasim. But it's nothing to do with man. It's nothing even to do with one min to another min. But in the world of Retzach, we view that as more of a change of the ofi. Again, and I'm not saying it. Kesef Mishnah said it. Kesef Mishnah had a magid. So Pashtus, there is something to it.
He also knew more animals than we do.
Okay. In any case, the Lecha Mishnah was very upset with the Kesef Mishnah. In other words, for all of the right reasons. In other words, that what does the... you can't say that because our sugya is in the first parak, it's talking about Nezikim. Our sugya is talking about psukim. And the psukim it's talking about are the psukim of Kofir. That's what Rashi says. Rashi on the Gemara understands that our sugya is talking about Hariga. That's the nature of the Kiyigach. That's what the Gemara is quoting. And so, we find both Kiyigach and Kiyigof in the world of Nezik, but we find Kiyigach in the world of Adam, that's the raya of the muad la'adam, muad la'behema. We're talking about the world of Misa. That's what he points out. In about six lines in, O kasha l'divi ravenu zel, di yevshar liyashiv, ha'ish maisisa, lo karav zvid, v'lo karav papa. That you have it, you're setting up a sugya on base and on base, doesn't work going to anyone. Because the Gemara is going in the world of Misa. And in the world of Misa, it says black and white that Muad le Behema lohave Muad le Adam. And Rav Papa, we have an issue. So in terms of Rav Papa, we saw that we can have Tosfos. In other words, that you can, but you can't. But that won't help us in terms of Rav Zvid. Okay. So what then do we do with the Rambam? So I sent you to the Granat. And I thought it's data from the Granat in the Beis Medrash, even though the Granat that I learned from when I went to Baba Kama was a stencil. And in my naivete, I thought that this is simply a nicely printed version of the stencil. And all of a sudden I began to read it after I printed it, and I said, wow. Okay, in other words, in that time, the same way Reb Chaim had Reb Baruch Ber in his shir, who wrote notes that were incomprehensible, but there were other people who wrote notes that were more comprehensible, and that's how they built the Reb Chaim al pi hashmua, not using Reb Baruch Ber's notes, but someone else's notes. So the Granat also had students. So the student wrote the stencil, was very, very comprehensive, and I think he wrote everything that the Granat wrote, just that he made mistakes occasionally in terms of putting in a low where there shouldn't have been a low, or putting in a yes where there should have been. So you would.
His Hebrew's not very good. It's very hard to read his Hebrew.
Yes, this Hebrew. The Hebrew is not his lingua, yeah. You know, or he didn't communicate in Hebrew. It was his learning language. It wasn't his speaking language. So they found other Talmidim, or editors, who wrote it very, very nicely that it flows. But they left out things. And so that's what I want to help fill in, what they left out, because otherwise, in other words, it continues. And so I went back, I don't have this here in the yeshiva, I went into Otzar Hachman, they have both, Baruch Hashem. The new one, they kept the old one. Kind of read that they knew something other people didn't know, that the old one has things the new one doesn't have. It's not just a question of truth. Okay, so just to understand the Granat is working off of, and he quotes, the Melo Roim, the Perush in the back of the Gemara, which you many of you have in your Likud, right? Who was bothered with an unusual halacha in the Rambam, not our issue. He wasn't bothered by Rav Zvid and by Rav Papa. He was bothered, you can look in the Rambam itself, that the Rambam gives the case after our case. V'chein, im hikiru ha'edim. Excuse the lines that are there. That was simply a mistake of the pen. V'chein, im hikiru ha'edim es bal hashor. V'lo hikiru et hashor pam rishon ha'shnia u'shlishis. Namely, that they knew that a shor came out of an eder three times and gored. But they didn't, and killed people. Uber v'is ro shoro shaharak v'lo yudyodim im zehu hashor shaharak b'shlosha pam ha'rishonos. Oh, acher haya, namely that this person has a shor in his herd who is a rotzeach, and then they see a shor from his herd killing an individual. Hoil v'hua du habalim sheyesh lehem bebekaram shor shahara gimel pa'amim haya lahem lishmor kol behemtam u'miachas shelosh amru mishamem esakofer. Rambam says something very audacious, that even though a shor tam doesn't pay kofer, but over here, forget about the shvarim. We're looking at the owner. And looking at the owner, this owner knows that he has a rotzeach in his herd, and so he's going to pay kofar on that fourth negicha, even though we are not certain that this was done by the shor who was nogeach previously. We have no idea. Maybe these are four shvarim, or three, or two. Maybe it's one. We're going to assume kilu it's one. Says the Baruch Haroim, that's crazy. That no one learns like that in the language. Rashi, Tosfos, the Rashba, they all assume that somehow, even though when the first three were seen, it wasn't clear, by the time you got to the fourth, it already became clear that we have a short nogeach. Or after the fourth, we were able to check the DNA or whatever, and it turned out that wasn't, namely that it was the shor. That's the way all the other Rishonim learn. The Rambam is very clear that he says, even though we're not sure that it was the shor, the original killer, b'chol zeh you're going to have kofar. So says Mal HaRoim, Kaner'eh, that the Rambam understands that there's a difference between the world of Muad in the world of Nezikin and the world of Muad in the world of Hariga. That in the world of Hariga, they were distinguishing the world of Tashlumen and the world of Kofir. In the world of Tashlumen, whether you pay Chatzi Nezek or Nezek Shalem, we have to know that this shor is the one who is Huat. We can't just say, well, this fellow has a shor in his herd. But when it comes to Kofir, it's enough if the person has a shor in his herd to create a situation of Huat. On this, the Granat builds and says, not only is, in other words, this is not a Tzarek Iyun, this makes a tremendous amount of sense, because we all learn from Reb Chaim, and we all know the chakiros that we have in the world of Nezikin. And one of our classical chakiros is, why in the world does an owner pay for the nezik which is done by his mamon? Why do you pay when your shor, bor, esh, or what did I leave out? Shane Regal, why are you paying? Are you paying? Thank you. Are you paying because you didn't watch your mamon? Is that the issue over here? If you recall, contra Reb Chaim, that's the pasuk. V'lo yishmerenu, and Reb Baruch Beer built on that in terms of Rabbeinu Tam's shita by Paga Niska Mamona. But are you paying because of the lack of shmira? That's the ikar. Lo yishmerenu, you're paying for your pshia, for your negligence. Or do we say no, that you're paying because mamon chahizik, you're responsible, just like you're responsible for your actions, you're responsible for all the actions of your animals, but if you're in a case of ones rechmana patre. But if it's not a case of ones, you're paying because mamon chahizik. So we set this up as a machlokes between the tour and the Rambam, right? In other words, that was an okay in the Torah and the Rambam. Why exactly you're paying? Because the Rambam says mamon chayizik, and the Torah says shelo shamar. Comes along the Granat and says maybe there's a distinction between the world of tashlumen of chatzi nezek and nezek shalem, and the world of kofer. That in the world of kofer, you're paying because lo yishmeranu, because you're negligent. In other words, that you're paying because you didn't watch your shor. That the process of ha'ada of a shor is making your shor a shor which is lo shamur. This shor is now lo shamur, and therefore now you're going to have to pay kofer if this shor which is not shamur from killing goes out and kills. Masha ein kein in terms of the ha'ada of chatzi nezek and nezek shalem. That you pay because mamon chahizik. And after three times, then your shor is defined as a shor hamazik, and it pays nezik shalik. Namely, are we looking at the shor, or are we looking at the person? Where did the granat pull this out of his hat? So we have a gemara later on. Andaf Mem Dalet Amud Beis, where the Gemara distinguishes between the world of Kofer and the world of Tashlumin, that the world of Tashlumin, the Gemara asks over there, Rabbi Shimon, Nami Nelef Mikofro, it should learn from Kofer to Tashlumin. So he says, "Don in chiyuva de shor mi chiyuva de shor lafuke kofer de chiyuve de bailehu." The language of the Gemara before the two dots on Daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis is that kofer is chiyuva de bailin, as opposed to tashlumen, which is chiyuva de shor. And then this fits very nicely into the Rambam, that the Rambam says that when we have an animal, when we have a herd that has in it animals that are not shamur, if three times the owner is warned that his herd is lo shamur, the fourth time he's going to pay kofer, because the kofer is chiyuva de bayir. That's on him. Lo yishmerenu. He has a herd, which is lo shamor. My nafkamina, the animal. In terms of the animal, you're correct. We have to know who the animal is, but that's a nafkamina in terms of chatzi nezek or nezek shalom. But when it comes to the world of ha'ada, in terms of kofar, there we have a different criteria. Very, very nice. Lechora. And then he moves it over to the world of Rav Zvid and Rav Papa, right? That the whole machlokes between Rav Zvid and Rav Papa, whether muad la'adam have a muad la'behema, whether muad la'behema have a muad la'adam, that is in the world of kofar. That Rav Zvid says, in the world of kofar, if we have an animal which is muad to kill three times, even if it kills an animal, that's already, you have to pay kofar. Namely, this is the ha'ada, this is the kufra, chiyuva, the bailer. That this is what the owner has to pay, not working off of the shore. Masha'en Cain, in the world of Nezikin, there, Rav Zvid will agree that to move from Chatzi Nezek to Nezek Shalem, you're not going to move from Chatzi Nezek to Nezek Shalem, moving from a behema to an adam. That requires the ha'ada of the behema, and over there we say that mu'ad for one min is not going to be mu'ad to another min, mu'ad for another min is not going to be for hema, mu'ad for hema not to be for hema, etc. That's our sugya. Okay? So that's how the Granat explains. The question is, how is the Granat any better than the Kesef Mishnah? What did the Kesef Mishnah distinguish between Nezikin and Ritzicha? So what did the Granat distinguish between Nezikin and Kofar? Isn't that the same? I mean, the Granat was working off of the Lecha Mishnah. He knew the Lecha Mishnah disagreed with the Kesef Mishnah and learned that our sugya is in a world of, in the case of Hariga, that our sugya is bringing psukim. And those psukim, as Rashi pointed out, deal with kofar. So how have we solved anything? How did two pages of the Granat, even in this beautiful print, how did he add anything to what we already know from... In other words, he tossed in a chakira, right? The chakira of Lo Yishmerenu. Beseder, but the bottom line is, we have a sugya over here that's talking about a world of hariga. And that's exactly what the Lecha Mishnah points out. How can you learn this sugya according to Rav Zvid? So the answer is found in the Granat, but not the Granat HaShalem. It's found in the original Granat, the fellow who took the notes. So I want you to be able to enjoy the Granat as he wrote it. So even though Ben-Yahu is totally 100% correct, that the Hebrew is not as elegant, and you see over here, it goes over two pages instead of being able to fit it on one page. But I really believe this is what the Granat wrote. Okay, so firstly, just technically, in other words, the first thing that just threw me off was that when I looked at the printed version, he mentioned that the Rashba learns that the sugya, when there are three shvarim coming out of a herd, the Rashba learns that we have to know before the fourth negicha who was that shor, those that went out the first three times. The identity has to already be known, and the Rashba disagrees with the Rambam. I said, what do you mean the Rashba? The Granat said Rashi and Tosfos, because Rashi and Tosfos also mashna that way, right? So the third paragraph, he neshitas Rashi v'Tosfos v'harashba lehefach. The Zorach sheyedu ha'edim shezeh asher shenagach. That's the way the Lecha Mishnah also understood that. Lecha Mishnah says Rashi and Tosfos. Doesn't even mention the Rashba. I don't know if he had the Rashba, but Rashi and Tosfos learn that way. There is another way of learning Rashi and Tosfos, but lechora that within the Granat it shitas Rashi Tosfos v'harashba. In any case, in terms of our issue, look at the last paragraph. So the last paragraph, let's read together. Ulefiza yesh letaret stiras divi rabbeinu haramba. Hine tzrichim lahavin b'maitrige l'kaman b'muad l'min zeh, istama have muad l'min acher. In other words, machokas Rav Zvid and Rav Papa, whether we say that muad for one min is a muad for everything or not. The zekha shalom are deplige b'metzius. I don't know if this is in the new one. In other words, lechora, what's the machlokes? What's, again, if it's not a machlokes with metzius, so what is the machlokes? Ela nira the modu kuleyama the kevan the nogach gimel pa'amim yotza michlal shimur v'have stama the lopsika inase muad lakol o lo. Namely, that we pointed out that there are two dinim. One is the bailim now responsible? Is this now a pshia of the bailim? Is this animal now lo shamur? That's one inyan. And a second inyan is he a muad in terms of moving from chatzi nezik to nezik shalem? Ubazeh plige the chad savar the gam bazeh sogi lahaada the gam stama chashiva haada that this is now an animal which is defined as a mazik and he's moving from chatzi nezik to nezik shalem. V'chad savar the stama lo naase muad avol kuliyam amodim the yotzelo meches kashimur. So it depends what we're talking about. If we're talking about kofir, we look at the owner. Is the onus on the owner? Shalosh shamar. If this animal is lo shamur, then the owner pays kofir. Chashizos ha'ada. Kevon de yotze miches kashimur chayev ba'alav lishmaroso. V'yim lo shmaro chayev kofir. Avrinyin nezikin havichiyuv adeshor pasak karev papa the muad lemin ze lo havi muad lemin acher. The hasam hatashlumen avur mamono shehizik tzarech shiyeh hachiyuv al mamono. In other words, that we're pointing the arrow not at the person but at his property. V'kevan dehavei kistama lo havei muad havei benezikin lo havei hachiyuv mishem hashmira. According to the Rambam, ela mishem mamono. This is the Rambam l'shitasa. So in terms of mamono, we say that muad lemin echad is not muad to other minim. In terms of moving from chatzi nezik to nezik shalim, mishkatas muad lebehema lo havei muad laadam leinyan nezikin. Now, in terms of, but just a minute, isn't this Gemara over here on the base of the base talking about hariga? So he explains, no, hariga can also be nezikin. Killing is not always going to result in kofir. When does killing result in kofir? When the animal kills a Jew. However, but what happens if nogach acharkach kusi hakonui li Yisrael kinyan mamon levad? Namely, that when you have a goy who is an eved to a Jew, but not an eved ivri who is a full Jew, and he's not an eved kanani on whom you have a kinyan mamon and a kinyan iser. The eved kanani is a partial ger. What happens when a goy kills an eved kanani? We have shloshim kesef. We have gzeres hakosuf. But what if we have that this person is a butler? He's hired for life. He's a butler for life. He's an eved b'mamon, but not b'isur. Namely, he's the Jew's property. We have a goy who is the Jew's property. And this goy is killed by a shor. So what happens when a person's property is damaged? If the shor is first time, second time, third time, he pays chatzi nezek. If it's fourth time, he pays nezik shalem. So over here, when we have kusi hakone li Yisrael kinya mamon levad hasam chayev l'shalem nezikin afilu harago, we can have a case of killing in which there is going to be a payment of tashlumen nezikin, not a payment of kofir. Ubazeh, since we pointed out muad la'adam lo have muad le. Whether muad la'adam is muad lebehema or not depends on what context. Muad la'adam is muad lebehema will be muad la'adam in the world of kofir. It'll create a lo yishmerenu. Muad behema will not be muad la'adam in terms of tashlumen. Afilu harago, but zem muad lebehema lo have muad laadam. You pay the owner chatzi nezek. That in this situation we would pay chatzi nezek. Avolinyan kofer muad lebehema have muad laadam. V'had isa b'gemara muad laadam have muad lebehema yifarish haram k'moshi pirish Rashi v'tosos v'yim b'lecha mishna v'chule v'chule. Namely, that the Granat set up two worlds. He didn't distinguish like the Kesef Mishnah distinguished. Does the animal see blood? Or does the animal simply damaging a table? That's not our issue. Our issue is, are we dealing with the world of Tashlumei Nezek or the world of Kofir? Are we dealing with Perek Aleph through Vav? Or are we dealing with Perek Yud? Perek Aleph through Vav in the Rambam is dealing with the world of Tashlumei Nezek. In the world of Tashlumei Nezek, you're paying because Mamona. And what do you have to do to move from Chatzi Nezek to Nezek Shalem? You have to have a Muad on the animal. And a Muad on the animal, we say, is Muad Lemin Echad, is not Muad Lemin Acher. And therefore, if you have an animal that killed three other animals and then kills this person who is the property of a Jew, so he's going to pay Chatzi Nezek. However, because it's in the world of Tashlumei Mamon. However, we move over to Perek Yud, we're talking about the world of Kofar. Kofar you pay when you kill a Jew. There we say, according to the Rambam, that if we have an animal that killed three behemoths, he's going to pay Kofar, because Kofar is not paid because of the Mamono Hizik. Kofar is paid because of the Lo Yishmarenu. And on the level of Lo Yishmarenu, we have a Muad. I mean, the Granat is very, very, very clear. All this is missing in the new edition. I mean, you know, it's a new kimta. But you have to have, but actually, yeah, we only understand our Gemara according to Ukimto. Rav Papa's Ukimto.
He's being moved in the Pasuk also, isn't he? He's even moved in the Kiyigach, when Shor Gor is a person that's referring back to an Evad Kamui.
In this case, in other words, the Kamash Malon, right? That the, what's the language of the Gemara? Milsa Gavurcha Kamash Malon is in the Sukimto. Is in the Sukimto. And according to Rav Papa, you know, where it's also it's within the Ukimta of Adam, Gomel, and Shor. And according to Rav Menachem, it's in the Ukimta of Chazar. So we're learning the sugi with Ukimta. So add in an Ukimta. What's very interesting is that the Rashash, I was looking at someone I felt should have said this somewhere. So the Rashash, when Rashi on Daf Beis Amud Beis, sets it all up on the world of Shor de Muad Laharog, that you pay kofar. So he says, the last five words of the Rashash to be maskil agav orche. Lule perusho yesh lafarish po benazikin lo b'misa. In other words, that had Rashi not set up the psukim in terms of misa, I would have learned it as nazikin. Now the question is, what exactly did the Rashash mean? The world of nazikin, like the granat? Or did he mean the world of Nezikin, like the first Perek as a whole? And even though these psukim are talking about Misa, but the sugi is talking about Nezikin, it's unclear. In other words, but he, again, you know, you're dealing over here with what's the ukimta of these psukim. So Rashi set up the ukimta as a case of Hariga, which is the context of the psukim. Just Rashi mentioned Kofar. That won't fit into the Rambam. It won't fit into the Granat. Doesn't have to. We understood that the Gemara worked out according to Rav Papa perfectly fine without the Rambam. But the moment the Rambam passes like Rav Zvid and Perek Yud, then you have to machag between Kofar and the Zikin. So that terminology is used over here by the Rashash. I don't think he meant the Granat. I think he meant just, you know, it's, you learn the sugi is talking about Nezikin. That's all.
Even though the sugi are talking about Nisa.
Even though the sugi is talking about Nisa, but the sugi is talking about Nezikin. But that's, again, that's what the Rashash wants to say. Because, you know, it's he was bothered by these issues of Rav Zvid and Rav Papa, and how does it all fit in? Well, just say, this is like Kesef Mishnah, this is Ezekiel, that's Hariga, don't confuse Perek to Perek.
I think we're just another remark, he asked for a Kashan Rashi, he says, why is Rashi, who me, Chuyach Rashi, to say it's talking about Misa, why not say it's talking about Ezekiel?
Okay, Beseder.
He just leaves it straight, he doesn't.
Beseder, but that's all within the world of the Kesef Mishnah. But, you know, don't get involved. We're not talking about Kofar, don't get involved in it at all. What the Granat says, I have a, you know, if Tosas has two Ukimtos, I'll set up an Ukimta according to the Rambam. It's no worse than the Ukimta that Tosas sets it up according to Rav Papa. I can set up also an Ukimta that'll fit in with Rav Zvid. Okay, in any case, that's the Granat, and so let the buyer beware. You're welcome to buy the Granat Hashalem. But if I were you, I would if you find something that appears to be just a minute, it's too smooth, right? Then maybe you should look elsewhere. Anyway, it was a traumatic experience for me this morning in the Beis Medrash, and when I began to read what I had photostated. Okay. So. All of that, the whole thing is left out. Oh. Everything that he said is like that. So, it's always a problem, you know, when someone, let's say, since Shir goes out to the bathroom, comes back in, and continues writing his notes, and then someone's going to take his notebook, and this is going to be the notebook, you know, from which he's going to print the chidushim of Rav X or Rav Y, and he wasn't there for that section. Okay, so before we move, so the Gemara then continues after bringing the Mu'ad Lanoi Mu'ad Lebehema, Mu'ad Lanoi Mu'ad Lebehema, the Shicha told her the Shein who? Lo, Shein Yesh Hanala Hazeko Ha Ein Hanala Hazeko. We're talking about a Neshicha, right? What does Tosus say over there? And not Tosus. No, I'm sorry. Let's continue. So the Gemara then continues. Revitza ubiita told the regel who? La, regel hezekan matsui, hane ein hezekan matsui. Ela told osehem lav kayotzi bahem dama rav papa, ahai. Ilema hani maishna karen kavanasa lahazik, monchishmarasan alecha, hani nami kavanasa lahazik, monchishmarasan alecha, ela told the karen kikarek. Okay, what appears in the Gemara is that the uniqueness of Karen, again, Mamoncha Ushmirasan Alecha, that applies to all the Avos Nezikin. What's the uniqueness of Karen? Kabanasa Lahasik. And if you go back to Rashi, Dibra Masil Negifa, about two-thirds of the way down in the thin lines, he says, Negifa Shedachafa Begufa Vihizika Bikavana. And then Ravitza, Ra'asa Kelim Badera, Cholchava Ravtza Alehem, Kedei L'Shavran. Kedei L'Shavran. In other words, that we're dealing over here, that the common denominator of Karen is that it's Kavanasa L'Hazik. When we move over to the Dibur HaMaskel Be'ita, so Rashi says Be'ita, Sheba'ata B'Ragleha V'Shavra Es HaKelim, V'Ahachi Havi Tolda the Karen, the Kavanasan Lahazik Ki Karen. Had he stopped over there, that would have been wonderful. Namely, that Karen is Kavanasan Lahazik, pure and simple. But then the Rashi continues, Ve Ein Hanoa Lahazeka Ki Karen. Ve Ein Hazeka Matsui Tadir. Hilkach Havi Ki Karen. Namely, that Rashi goes out of his way to say that we're defining, it appears, we're defining Karen not only in terms of the positive quality of Karen, but also in terms of what Karen is missing. Karen is not Hano'o Lehezekon, and Karen is not Hezeko Matsui Tadir. It's not in the teva of the animal to be mazik. I mean, like, okay. And then, in other words, what looking continuing down in Rashi, to Hani Ein Hezekon Matsui, the next to the last line of Rashi, the end of the line, Hilkach told the Karen Hain, why? The Ein Hezekon Matsui, the Ein Hanova Hezeko. And we have three Rashis over here. First Rashi says that we're defining Karen by Kavanasa Lahazik. Second Rashi appears we're defining Karen by two factors. You need A, Kavanasa Lahazik, and B, it's not Kavanah, there's no not for Hana'ah, and not Hezeka Matsui. And then we have a Rashi that defines Karen as purely the negative. That which is Ein Hezeka Matsui and Ein Hanola Hezeko, when we're missing these two factors, that's Karen. And the question is, what exactly did Rashi mean by these three Rashis over here on the Amud? Namely, okay, we're dealing with it contextually, but this is one sugya. It's one sugya. What is the hagdara of Karen? And just to make matters a little more complicated, I think I mentioned to you that these definitions of Rashi are going to repeat themselves over here on Daf Gimel and Daf Dalet in different permutations. When we move over to Daf Yud Dalet, Daf Tesvav, and Daf Tetzayim, moving from first parak to second parak, Rashi over there only speaks about Karen as being Meshuna. As being Meshuna. In other words, when you have this act which is totally off the wall, right? This cat jumped on this and then trolled over on this, and when it's Mashuna, that's defined as Keri. Doesn't appear there's any Hanasa Lahazik at all. In other words, so exactly what is going on, I'm just putting this on your table, we will come back to it, okay? We're still just learning, getting our feet wet in the Masechta. When we move to the next sugya of Keren, I hope that we'll have a bit more clarity. But just to be aware that if we only had the first two Rashis, we could have said maybe the Hagdara is purely Kavanas Lahazik. But Rashi is telling us that there's no Hanoah, namely it has to be 100% Kavanas Lahazik. It can't be like 70-30. And it's not Matsui, it's purely Hanoah Lahazik. There's no Teva at all. It's pure malice. Maybe, but then when Rashi at the bottom says, Hilkach told the Karen Hain, the Ain Hazek on Matsui, the Ain on Alazeko, leaves out totally the world of Kavana Lahazi, Kanere Yesh Dvarim Bego. So keep it in mind that this is something we're leaving it as unfinished business, yes?
Presumably Rashi is taking off of the Gemara, which had said, two of those two Lashonos explicitly, in its comparison with Shane on one hand and Regal on the other hand.
Correct. But what is the definition? In other words, if we'll have a case which is not Kavanaso Lehazik and not Hanoa Lehazekon and not Hazeko Matsui.
Right.
Again, an animal falls. In other words, in a manner which is not Matsui. Some animals, when they fall, like people, when it's Matsui, that a 7-year-old person, Shalomuftal Pelasatan, falls. That's already Matsui at that age. But, it's a young animal, a cat, has 9 lives, right? It always lands on its feet, and this cat landed on its back. That's not Matsui, the cat should land on its back. Clearly, there was no Hanola Hezeko, he's limping away. So what is that? Nothing? Or maybe that's the Mashuna, and maybe the Mashuna can substitute for Kamanasala? Exactly what?
If I was going to read the Gemara, then I would have said, right, you have a category of Shane, and you have a category of Regel, that have their defining characteristics, and the Gemara seems to be saying that anything that doesn't fit into one of those boxes is Keren.
But we also read the Gemara that Maishna Keren de Kavanaso Lahazik Umamon Choshmirasan Alecha, that we're defining what is the Tolda of Keren, that which is Kavanah Lahazik, even if it's not Gori. The Torah deals with Kavanaso Lahazik on the level of Gori. As told us, so we have Ravitza and Be'ita and the Gifa, all of these because they're Kavanas al-Lahazik.
Right. I guess what I'm saying is, it's not really a question of Rashi, it's a question of the Gemara.
No, okay. It's a question on Rashi, because the Gemara, that's the tafkid of Rishonim, is to take the Gemaras and to give us a sense of proportion of how to read the Gemara. And that's usually what Rishonim do, that they give us a sense. This is the Iker, this is the Tafel, this is Vahule. And Rashi over here is, as you point out, going with the flow. Right? He's flowing with the Gemara, but that doesn't help us in defining Keren, the fact that he's flowing with the Gemara. Okay. So, in other words, this is an open question. Again, it's not a Taina on Rashi. Rashi is just, it's reading as it comes. But if we want to define, if we're learning this Gemara, we have these four boxes, Shem Mazik. Right? And we have the Shein Mazik according to Rav called Keren. We want to know what fits into that box. What's going to be Chatzi Nezek and Nezek Shalem? Is that cat Chatzi Nezek or is that cat Nezek Shalem? Well, how are we going to view it? Okay. So then the Gemara then continues. Or maybe the owner of the cat is Potter altogether. Or Nesrech Manapatre. I don't know. Okay. So let's move over. Ki kamar Rav Papa kanerev, the Tolda de Keren, ke Keren, where did Rav Papa say, Tolda same Rav Kayotzi, behen, Ashen Veregel. Shein Veregel hechik sive de Tanya. Veshilach, es habi'ira ubir v'seyacher, Veshilach zeharegel. Vechenu omer meshalchi regel, hashor v'hachamor. This you realize, we're going to have to understand, and we will talk about it, is the owner's participation part of the Shein Mazik of Regel, the Shluchei Meshalchei, the fact that the owner was not just aware, but this was somewhat of his initiative that this animal go into wherever it went. Okay, that we have to see. Ubir ze Hashem. V'cheinu omer kashir yiva'er ha-galal ad tumo. And the Chazal, the Rishonim, are understood that we are Doresh in the word Galal, Rashi says, "Hainu Shen." That galui galal comes from the lashon of gilui. Shepamim megula, pamim mechuse. That sometimes the teeth are seen, sometimes they're not seen. So that's the galal. So kasher yivaer hagalal atumo, when the teeth chew this up to nothingness. Uksiv kasher yivaer. Lishna achrina galal zerei shehashem yivaeret hamachal. We're talking over here about the digestive system, which produces waste, and that this was kasher yivaer hagalal atumo. This was eaten to the degree that it turned totally into waste. In either of those cases, we're dealing with either the maisa of the shein or the totzah of the shein, etc. Amar mar v'shilach zeh haregel v'chinu omer meshalchi regel asher v'achamor taima dekosa rechmona meshalchi regel. Ken halav hachi v'may mukmisle iker en ksiv, ishen ksiv, itzrich. Salka daita chamina idi v'idi ashen v'hada machal yakarna v'hada lo machal yakarna kamashmalon. That it appears that we have two ukimtot of shein, and the two psukim, had we not had the pasuk of meshalchi regel, we would have used the two psukim for these two ukimtot. Kamashmalon. Kamashmalon what?
The second pasuk. That's one shein.
Kamashmalon that. How many psukim do we really have about shein?
One.
Only one. And the pasuk, the first pasuk, is talking about regel, right? The kamash malan, that this pasuk relates to regel. I hashta du kimna a regel shein de la machal yakarna min olan. So Gemara says, dumya de regel, ma regel loshna machal yakarna loshna lo machal yakarna, af shein loshna machal yakarna loshna lo machal yakarna. Okay, over here, Let's just stop here for a moment and try and understand exactly what is going on. We're going to have to deal with, basically over here, three different issues. Firstly, one issue is, what is the ukimta of machal yakarna, and what is the ukimta of lo machal yakarna? Because we have Rabbeinu Hananel, and we have Rashi, and we have Tosfos. And we have to understand how each of them disagree with one another. B, why is it so obvious to the Gemara that regulus chayev, both machal yakarna and lo machal yakarna, as opposed to shein, that we need a limud? Either we need a pasuk, or we need a hekesh to regel. Like, why distinguish between regel and shein on the level of machal yakarna or lo machal yakarna? The Gemara just takes it for granted that Ma regel lo shna machal yakarna lo shna lo machal yakarna. How do we know that? Ashen lo machal yakarna lo shna lo machal yakarna. Why by regel do we just take it for granted, and by shein we need something, a pasuk or a hekesh? Thirdly, we have another gemara. I sent you to the Meiri, and the Meiri quotes a gemara on daf kaf gimel amud beis that the gemara over there points out on the fifth line. Shein d'chiev rachmana heche mishkachasle. What is the ukimta of shein? Amar Rav Mori bereid Rav Kahana gonchin iskachacha bekosel lahana asa betinfa peros lahana asa. So we have later on in our sugya that we have toldos of shein. One tolda of shein is rubbing against the wall, and another tolda of shein is lying down on peros. Maskif la marzutra. Habeinan kasher yivaer hagalal ad tumo veleka, that we need ad tumo. What is ad tumo? Machal yakarna. We need machal yakarna. Gemara says, yeah, you're right. Ravina Amar deshaf tzalme, that the wall had a wall painting on it, and the animal erased the wall painting. It was machal yakarna. Or the Rav Ashi Amar the pase psue. That these fruit that the animal rolled over on have now disappeared. That they've just sunk into quicksand. They're not around any longer. So our Gemara says lechora that you're chayev both for machal yakarna and for lamachal yakarna, and we have a sugya that just takes for granted that you require ad tumah. that which is lo machal yakarna is simply not shame. What exactly is going on over here? And then the Meiri gives us this pshara, right? That if we're dealing with shluchei mashalchei, then it's irrelevant whether machal yakarna or not. But if we're dealing with a shame that went on its own, then you need machal yakarna. What is going on? You know, it's simply this whole machal yakarna, lo machal yakarna, is very, very strange. So let's look at the definitions that are given by the Rishonim, and let's just try to understand what's problematic. Let's start with Rabbeinu Chananel. What does Rabbeinu Chananel say? Mahu detema hanetrei kroi v'shilach ubir travayu ashen v'ha da'achal peri legamri v'ka machal yakarna v'ha da'afsidinu leperi d'chayav v'lo machal yakarna. So over here, there's a footnote. Ulai tzarech lomar da'at fintinhu. I mean, what bothered the Cheshek Shlomo in terms of our Girsa of Rabbeinu Chananel, which is the real Girsa, right? Most of Kook has the manuscripts, and in their edition, they have da'af sidinhu. What is a little strange about da'af sidinhu? And Bechal Yakarna is not the Afsidinu? I mean, like, why is that a definition of Lo Mechal Yakarna? Mechal Yakarna, he says, is Achila. And Lo Mechal Yakarna is the Afsidinu. Afsidinu, all shame is Afsidinu. That's what he wanted to set up in Ukimta, right? The Atfininu, like we have in Tosfos. But that's not Rabbeinu Chananel. Okay, so what's Rabbeinu Chananel teaching us? What does he want to tell us about something about Lo Machal Yakarna that he says Da'af Sidinu?
Doesn't imply that any mafsid?
But that's not the case. I mean, it's only if it's via shame. And so why is the case of Machal Yakarna any less of an afsidinu than the Lo Machal Yakarna? What over here is the distinction? Eating means specifically eating, nothing else. Nothing else comes under shame but eating. Okay, let's continue. Rashi. Idi ve'idi shilach ubir trevayu ashen. Shilach asa l'chiyuva hecha delo kayakarna demashma kugon she'ochla aruga v'sofo lachzor v'litzmoach, avaloki b'tchiva. Ubir haynu hecha demachal yakarna, demashma ubir shemevayer legamre. In other words, if you're dealing with a field of corn, and the animal goes in and eats the corn, that's machal yakarna. Nothing is going to grow that season from those stalks. The corn grew, it was eaten, it's no longer around, v'chulei. But if the animal goes into a field of what classically is called shachat, a grazing area, which is meant to grow to a certain point, then to be cut, and then to grow again. And instead of letting it be cut, the animal goes and eats it, and now it's going to grow again, but it's not going to grow to the same degree that it would have grown had it been cut under human supervision. The animal's eating doesn't have that precision that the human being has. And so, let's say the first field that the animal ate, that was worth $25. Had the animal not eaten it, and it would have been cut down, the next field would have been worth $25. But now, what's going to grow is only going to be worth $20. Right? That's the Lo Machal Yakarna. That's the Lo Machal Yakarna. Right? That's what Rashi says. Correct? Machal Yakarna is when it disappears. Ubir shemevayer legamrei. But if it hasn't disappeared, it's going to grow back, but it's going to grow back to a lesser degree. So for lachzor v'litzmoach avalo kibitchigo, that's Lo Machal Yakarna. Okay? So the Lo Machal Yakarna, according to Rashi, is which damage? The $25 or the $5? The $5, l'chor. $25, that was the animal ate, that's machal yakarna. The lo machal yakarna is that which is going to come back, but it's going to be of a different nature. Instead of being worth $25, it's only going to be worth $20. So how do we know the owner of the animal pays for that $5? Because of the pasuk of Vishilah, or because of the Hekesh to Regu. Correct? Comes along Tosvos and says, Pirish Rahakuntrus Shachas. Shachas, Tosvos already, you know, it simply gave us the more precise definition. What's Tosis asking over here on Rashi? What's his question? Rashi agrees that the first part that was eaten was eaten. We're talking about that which grows. So what bothered Tosfos? Shegam ha'balim heim yecholim liktzor, or there's another girsa over here. Hayu, right? Yecholim liktzor, right? From what's the question? And once we understand the question, what's the machlokas over here between Rashi and Tosfos on lomach al yikarna? And then Tosfos goes ahead and says, "No, I have a different rukimta. V'yeshlamar shetinfa peros lahana asa." That's a nice ukimta, right? That the peros are still around. They're just dirty. Why didn't Rashi give that ukimta? Because the Gemara calls it a tolda. We're looking over here, we have a pasuk. We're looking at a pasuk, or a hekesh teregel. We're not looking at a tolda, we're talking about the av. So Tosfos knew that. Tosfos says, Mikol makom kori le lakamon litnofes peros lanasa tolda, kevan de pashte de kra airi ba achila de mechal yakarna. What's Tosfos to say? I mean, he was bothered. Yeah, he was, you know, like he knew what bothered Rashi. I mean, not only Rashi, the Rashba also has some Tosfos. Like what? Like this is a tolda. We're looking for an av. But what is Tosfos' answer? Okay, so all of this we have to understand. Okay, so what I'd like to try and do with you is to understand it. Trying to figure out why machal yakarna and lo machal yakarna are specifically issues in the world of shein, while the Gemara takes for granted that this is totally irrelevant in the world of regel. Right? Ma rega loshna machaya karna loshna lo machaya karna. What would you say about the world of Karen, by the way? Would it be relevant to the world of Karen, machaya karna, or lo machaya karna? Chor is totally irrelevant, right? In other words, Karen, you're mazik, you know, the animal's still around, right? So, in other words, irrelevant whether the animal's still around, it's not still around, right? Or the wall is still around, etc. So we have a category which is only meaningful in the world of Shein. Only there do we need a pasuk or a hekesh. While in Keren and Regel, we take for granted that it's an irrelevant factor. So let's take a sort of an overview, with your permission, of the world of Keren, Shein, and Regel. In what way is Keren unique in this realm, as opposed to Shein and Regel? If you had to posit, I mean, the Gemara over here says, well, we spoke about Karen, now let's speak about Shein and Regel. And then the Gemara deals with Shein and Regel separately, but it first starts off Shein v'Regel. Starts off with Shein v'Regel. Well, what over here is the uniqueness of Karen? Even the Gemara sort of said it. Ma Karen, working off of the sugya. Ma ishna Karen, the kavanasa lahazik. What does kavanasa lahazik imply, which is missing in Shein and Regel? If I had to find the act of Karen as opposed to the act of Shein and Regel,
it like went with a specific purpose.
In other words, we're dealing with the world of Karen with an act of vandalism, right? An act of hezek. Karen is an act of hezek. It's a maisa hezek. Shein and Regel is not a maisa hezek, right? The animal is eating. That's not a maisa hezek. The animal is walking. That's not a maisa hezek. We have a totsa'ah. We have a totsa'ah of hezek, right? But we don't have an act of hezek. The result is hezek, but the act itself is not an act of hezek. But let's distinguish now between Shein and, as opposed to Karen and Regel. In other words, what's the common denominator between keren and regel as opposed to shein within the totsa'ah? The totsa'ah, the result of keren is hezek. We have damaged property. The result of regel is hezek. What's the result of shein?
It's gone.
It's not hezek. No, it's hezek is vandalism. There was no vandalism.
It was use.
It was use, right? In other words, that we have a hefsed. We have a loss. We don't have a nesek. Namely, that if we're going to view. So if we're going to view on the level of the ma'aseh, the totza'ah of keren, shein, and regel, so within keren we have a ma'aseh hezek, and we have a totza'ah of hezek. Within regel we have a totza'ah of hezek, but we have a ma'aseh, we have pula. No, travit. Oh, if you want to. Tivit. Okay, we're going to use like Tivit. We have a simply natural act. Within Shane, here we have a Pula Tivit. No, it's Shane and Regal are similar over here. Karen and Regal are similar over here. But within Shane, we don't have a result of Nezek. We have a result of Hefsek. And as Benayel pointed out, what we have in the world of shein is ba'etzem, I am using someone else's property without permission. In other words, someone has tomatoes, and I'm using his tomatoes to feed myself without permission. Generally, what's the halacha when you are nehene from someone else's property without permission? You pay what? What do you pay when I'm nehene from someone else's property without permission? The mehana. Normally I pay for my hana. I was nehene, right? In other words, I pay for my hana. What do I pay in shein? Arba avos nezikin. Namely, that the chiddush of shein, the uniqueness of shein, we have no ma'aseh hezek, and we have no totza'ah of hezek, and still is considered to be one of Arba Avos Nezikin. This is where Machal Yakarna and Lo Machal Yakarna fit into the world of Shein. Okay, that in other words, if we're dealing with Shein, and Ein Ma'asen Nezek, the Ein Totsa'as Nezek, that we have Mishtamesh B'Momon Chavero Shalom Idaito, and we have a chiddush that when you do it, when a person does it, he's chayev to pay that which he was nehene. Here we have that when that in this situation you pay mishalei mashehizik. Okay, so given, I mean, so far again, I don't think it was mechadesh anything, no.
I mean, why is it called mishtamish? In the cases of achla peros, so that's, you're not being mishtamish, you're completely consuming. That's more like, the dinyan by adam would be more like gezel. Well, I come and take an apple from someone's house, and I eat it, so you wouldn't call it mishtamish, but you call that gezel. And in the other cases of shein, tinfa peros lanasa, it's also meaning, it is mishtamish, but you are causing a real hezek, you're decreasing the value of something. So in both cases you have, one case is not hezek, but it's not necessarily mishtamish. The other cases are hezek.
So again, I would call that hefsed as opposed to hezek. Again, hezek means that something has been vandalized. Something has been, you know, we use a word in Hebrew, mashu hitkalkel. In other words, but in the world of shame, in fact, when I eat something, it hitkalkel. It was. It's there for that purpose. What?
For the guy who owns it, it's
mitkalkel. We call it mitkalkel, or we call it, there is a loss. In other words, it's not there. It's simply not there to the degree that it was there originally, or it can no longer be used in the way it could have been used previously. In other words, that my the peros, tinfa peros, means that I can't use these peros any longer as food. No one is going to eat them. In other words, so they've been used in a manner that I that causes me a loss. So I think, in other words, that if we now have two options as to where we're going to have this chiddush, that when I use something of someone's without permission, that we're going to call me a mazik, as opposed to paying masha nehene, if I only had one pasuk, what would I apply it to? Right. That's it. No, it's saying that Shein is Yesh Hano'ah Lehezeko. If I only had one pasuk, I would only apply it when we're dealing with a situation where we have the maximal Hano'ah. We're going to define a maximal Hano'ah as being Hezek. That L'chor is a Gemara Daf Kaf Gimel in Beis. Ubir Hagalal Ad Tumo. Ad Tumo, that when I have a situation where I have, in other words, where I have, if I want to explain why it's a nezek as opposed to hana'a, in other words, that when it's still lo machal yakarna, so then I could speak about it as being a hefse, but to speak about it as a nezek, in other words, I wanted to find shame as a nezek. We want to say that shame is one of arba avos nezikin. We want to sort of, even though basically it's a world of hana'ah, but in order to fit it into, where do I have the nezek anywhere here? The act is a natural act. The result is a hefsed. So perhaps only if we're going to have a world of ad tumo, then that ad tumo is going to define the nezek aspect. As you pointed out, it's in other words that it's just not there any longer. That's more than a hefsed. That already would be a nezek. Who defines it in that manner? Which of the Rishonim define in that manner? What we just said is black and white in the word of the Rishonim. That's exactly Rabbi Hananel. Rabbi Hananel is telling us, Shein yesh hanoa lehezeko. Shein is called an av mazik. Shein is chayav to pay nezek as opposed to hanoa. That's the case of Machal Yakarna. We have a chiddush that even lo Machal Yakarna, hecha da afsedinu, the Rabbeinu Hananel is not giving us an ukimta. He's just giving us a definition. The definition of the av mazik of shein is when you have a nezek. The nezek is atumo. When you have achila, then you have a nezek atumo. That's the av. Then we have a pasuk, another pasuk, or a hekesh teregel, which expands it even to a case of afsid dinu. What is that case of afsid dinu? Let Rashi and Tosfos talk about it. Rabbi Hananel is not interested in giving us that case. That's what Rashi and Tosfos are interested in giving us an ukimta of where we don't have the classic nezek, but we have the expansion. We have the expansion of the nezek. Okay, now, Birushutchem, let's move over to Rashi and Tosfos. What does Rashi say will be the ukimta, the hechitimtza, of where we have a case of lo machal yakarna, that we find that on one we need hana'a lehezeko, we have hana'a lehezeko, but it's not a case of achila, which is nezek, it's a case of causing hefsed.
Eating the plane, but not.
So, when you're eating the plane, that's mechal yakarna, but since it's not going to grow back to the same degree, so on that which is growing back not to the same degree, we have a situation of it's a result of hana'a lehezeko. It's a result, as a result of the eating, we have a situation where the koach hatzmicha of the plants is not to the same degree, that's a case of lo machal yakarna. What does Tosus have to say about that?
At the end of the day, the karen is gone.
At the end of the day, in other words, had it grown back the way it should have grown back, then the balim would have been kotzer it. And that which the balim are not kotzer, that's machal yakarna. Machal yakarna, namely that we have over here not just a loss to the owner, but we have over here something missing to the owner. We have nezik, we have machal yakarna. There's a certain percentage of the grass that didn't grow back, either in height or just didn't grow. But so, what didn't grow back, that could have been niktzar. That's also machal yakarna. That's also machal yakarna. What over here would be the machlokas Rashi and Tosfos? They're viewing a case of grass growing back to a lesser degree than it would have grown back had there not been the act of the animal. Rashi calls that a case of lo machal yakarna, and Tosus calls that a case of machal yakarna. In other words, that which is, you know, it's a question of the perspective on that which everyone agrees on the case, right? It's a question of how to view the case. We're dealing with a case where there is less than there would have been.
Rashi would say, that you have to destroy the entire item in order for it to be machal yakarna. If you leave part of it over, then it's lo machal yakarna. Machal yakarna means paper was here, now it's gone. Those would say, as long as the value didn't decrease because there's less quantity as opposed to less quality. I mean, less quality is lo machal yakarna, and less quantity is machal yakarna, even if it's not completely destroyed.
And Rashi, at what point does Rashi disagree with Tosfos?
See, if there's still a stock here, then it's not machal yakarna. You didn't get rid of the stock. You have to get rid of the entire stock to be considered machal.
I think maybe you can learn it that way. I think that you can learn it a little sharper, in my humble opinion. In other words, what over here did the animal, if we want to view what the animal, in what realm did the animal cause the hezek? So Tosfos clearly, as you're pointing out correctly, says that the animal caused the hezek, and now that there is quantitatively less grass. Quantitatively less grass is what we call machal yakarna. And what does Rashi say? Looking at that less grass, why is there less grass? Because the animal ate it. It's not less grass because the animal ate it. If the animal had eaten it, that would be machal yakarna. Why is there less grass? Because what did the animal damage? He damaged the koach hatzmicha of the grass. That's lo machal yakarna. Namely, to, you know, it's, when we look at the grass which didn't grow, do we view it as that the animal ate it, or do we view it, and you know, quantitatively it's not there, or do we view it that because of the act of the animal, qualitatively, the grass could not grow? That's already lo machal. You can always say that the machlokas would be in when you have a situation where the potential was not achieved, do we view it in terms of the quantity that's not there, or do we view it in terms of the quality which is missing, which is the reason why it wasn't achieved? One of them would be machal yakarna, one of them would not be machal yakarna. Simply viewing the same act, but from two different perspectives. Then we have a technical issue between Rashi / Rashba and Tosfos. How do we define an av? According to the Chorer, the Rashi and the Rashba, what defines an Av? Or what defines an Av? The fact that it's in the Pasuk. And so if we have a Pasuk, it must be an Av. And if the Gemara calls it a Tolda, that it's not, you know, a Tolda is that which is not in the Pasuk. What does Tosva say? What is an Av and a Tolda? Pashte Dekru. Namely that not everything which is in the Torah is automatically an Av. Only if it's Pashte Dekru. Similar Yitachin to Rashi, the first Rashi on the Masechta, Avos Kari Lahanach Diksivan Dekru Behedya. That you need a Pashte Dekru in order for it to be considered to be an Av. That, in other words, that would be a technical machlokas. That would be a technical machlokas. Is there an alternative to Tosfos? To Tosfos is, in other words, you know, to learn like Tosfos, Tosfos says that we're dealing over here with an Av of Tinfa Peros, but that this is Tosfos, we don't have to be bothered by the fact that Gemara calls Tinfa Peros a Tolda. Could we have two types of Tinfa Peros? Okay, we'll stop over here. So, B'lin Neder, next time we'll start with this. We'll start with the concept of Tinfa Peros, then move over to the Meiri and his working off for the strange pshara of when do we have Mechaya Karna, when don't we have Mechaya Karna. And then we'll move over into the Sugya, in the Sugya over here of Shein and Regel, Rashi and Tosos. Next time, B'lin Neder will learn Gimel Amud Aleph. Okay, I'll give you my makomas. We know tomorrow morning.
Shkoyach. Thank you very much.